Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you. Always.
Hello and welcome to Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told, and soon we will have so much more saga to celebrate. I am one of your hosts. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw, and here, as always, is your other host.
I'm your other co-host, the Internet Soapbox Mark Donica, on Twitter at Soapbox Mark. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, we got a great show for you today. There's been tons of Star Wars news. There keeps being more and more Star Wars news, to the point at one point this weekend I looked at my phone and said a swear word out loud, out of shock, at my phone. We're going to talk about the new international trailer that was released. We're going to talk about the new TV commercial that was released. And we're going to take some of your questions in our Mind Probe segment. But first, we have a wonderful guest returning, our friend, fan favorite, Mr. Joe Ruggiero.
That's me. I'm a fan favorite?
Yeah.
Do they know that?
They're going to find out if they don't know.
Yeah, they are. Hi, fans.
Burn it.
That's our duel of the fates, actually, today.
Is Joe Ruggiero a fan favorite?
It's you and Mike Black to get like next year.
Oh, I can't compete with Mike Black.
Damn it.
I defer.
Well, no one can. If we just cut to Mike Black just sitting around, watching TV, maybe having some Doritos, as he talks about.
Yeah.
That would be a good episode of Jedi Alliance right there. So, Joe Ruggiero, please tell the people a little bit about who you are and what you do.
I am a writer for GeekNation.com. See, I told you I have an actual credit this time, as opposed to last time when it was just, I watched Star Wars 2. Big nerd, and you can follow me on Twitter, JoeRu23, where you can see my witty sayings and pictures of my cat, Lando.
Awesome, awesome. And you're writing for Geek Nation as you're covering entertainment news for the website.
Movies, TV, video games even, although someone else handles that because I don't know video games. But yeah, movies, TVs, all the TVs.
You cover TV. The TVs.
We cover, on Geek we cover Nation. All the TVs.
Excellent. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, we've asked you our five normal questions. We've asked you five weird questions. We've been asking people some questions about The Force Awakens to kick off our show. Sweet. So here are some specific questions for you. What was your ticket buying experience for The Force Awakens?
It was really, really easy because I haven't done it yet.
Ooh. What? You get out of our studio. You just didn't buy tickets to The Force Awakens.
No.
This Star Wars movie we've been talking about for months.
Yes, I know. I'm going to see it.
Yeah, so what's your plan? What's your tactic?
Well, I'm not going opening night.
Okay.
Because I don't want any part of that. And I can't go Friday. So I'll probably go Saturday and Sunday. And I checked yesterday. There's still plenty of tickets available, so
I mean, for now.
For now. I mean, I'm not going to wait till the 17th.
Fair enough.
But I'll get them. But so I was slightly compelled, you know, when the whole release came, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get it. And then I started looking on Twitter and just seeing anger and hate from everyone going,
a million voices crying
down,
out.
Everything's down. No one can buy anything. And I just thought, yeah, I'm good. I'll wait.
Okay.
All right. So I'm waiting. But so yeah. So I have no complaints. It's been wonderful.
Yeah. So I mean, I think there is the trade-off of you know, if you don't absolutely in your soul need to see it right away.
I really don't.
And you feel like you have tactics to deal with spoilers.
I'm quitting Twitter between now and then.
Awesome.
I'm just done.
So then you can get to see it leisurely on a Saturday afternoon with some dads and family and whatnot.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm taking the slow and steady approach as opposed to that. I have to be there because I don't have to be there.
So you're going to take The Force Awakens out on a couple dates and see how it goes.
Yeah.
You're going to be slow about
it. Yeah,
it's going
to be a little casual.
Awesome.
I don't want to commit right away.
Awesome.
Are you planning on seeing it more than once for the weekend?
Oh, I'm sure I'll see it. Maybe not that specific weekend, but this definitely has a 2, 3, 4 times in the theater vibe to it, just because, you know, especially if it's good, which I think it's going to be very good.
Yeah.
I, you know, don't take my lack of opening night enthusiasm as a slight of my general enthusiasm.
No.
I just don't like lots of people.
I think you're planning to go to The Force Awakens the way like Obi-Wan Kenobi would. Like,
yeah.
Don't rush in.
Yeah,
just take your time.
Just,
go on Saturday afternoon.
I just, it's more of the people than the actual movie. So I'm going to go where it's slightly less manic.
Understandable.
And,
understandable.
Take my time.
I am looking forward to being in the throngs of humanity. Our next question is, what do you think the rating of the film will be? Because it is not actually released yet. Actual rating. Do you think it'll be PG or PG-13? G? NC-17?
NC-17. I think he's really going to throw us a curveball. I would imagine PG. PG-13, to me, thinks like there's going to be like language and maybe more excessive violence than what we're used to, and I don't think that's something that's going to happen. I mean, I don't know how much an arm getting chopped off by a lightsaber these days gets you in the movie rating system, but, like, you know, PG-13 means they're going to be saying S-word a lot and one F, because you can do that in PG-13, and I just don't see that happening.
I don't know.
So I'm going to go with PG.
I think Solo has one in him, probably.
I mean, absolutely. It would be awesome, yeah. But, well...
A canon F?
I mean, it might be okay. I don't know. I don't think... I think they're going to go PG.
Yeah, maybe it'll be an F-word in Orabesh written out somewhere.
I think the only thing that would put it to PG-13 would be, depending on how, if there's any torture.
Yeah.
They're alluding to some torture, and if it's pretty graphic, then, well, I mean, I don't know how graphic it can be. But if it's just enough for PG-13, I think that's the only way that it'll get a PG-13.
Yeah, I think if it is just sort of like psychologically terrifying enough, that can tip it into PG-13. Because there's certainly PG-13 movies that don't have gore, don't have swears, but it's just sort of like what's happening to the character is, while not sort of visceral in the human way, is really emotionally visceral.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's a good possibility. I think it'll be PG-13. And finally, we've been asking a lot of people this. Joe Ruggiero, what is your box office prediction for the opening weekend domestic?
All the money.
All the money.
Just literally all of it.
Can you narrow that down to numbers?
Yeah. Well, so Jurassic World holds the title at $208 million.
Right.
I think this is going to blow that out of the water because a gajillion people are going to see it. So
again, real numbers.
Yeah,
no, that's a good number.
Real number. I'm going 315.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So, are you covering this kind of thing for Geek Nation right now? Are you looking at the numbers and looking at the box office?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, no, you're speaking from a position of like I've been reporting on this for the last several months.
Yeah, and I've kind of seen what gets the big and because look at the example of Jurassic World. It's a popular franchise couple decades ago.
Right.
Reinvented for the new millennium. And that's just Jurassic Park. This is Star Wars, which is 1,000 times bigger and 1,000 times more ingrained into our pulp culture than Jurassic Park will ever be. And I really think this is going to be one of those where literally everyone sees it. I mean, I know people who have never seen Star Wars or just don't even care about Star Wars, but they get that this is going to be an event. You know, my own girlfriend who doesn't care about any of my nerd stuff, she's like, I want to go with you because I can tell this is going to be a thing.
Right.
And I think that's going to be the case. So I think literally every ticket for that 4-day span will get sold. I mean, I was looking, not for my own purposes, but just out of curiosity, I was looking at like the 4:30 a.m. showing on Friday the 18th, and there's like 3 rows of seats already taken.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, those shows are getting lots of tickets sold. So I think this thing is going to be, like, it's not just going to barely eke out a win over Jurassic World. It's going to crush everything ever before it.
Yeah, and from the looks of it, it looks like the theaters are preparing for this because they have their showings all through the night at so many theaters.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's starting Thursday at 7 and going, you know, the Arclight in Sherman Oaks has 1:30 a.m., 2:30 a.m., 4:30 a.m., 5 a.m., and like 3D IMAX and regular. So, like, it's 2 showings at those times in the early morning, and they're selling tickets.
Yeah.
I figure that's also, that might be a lot of people preemptively buying for once they get out of their first showing, going in and seeing it again.
Yeah. Oh, I'm
that's
sure what,
that's the only thing that I can see for that 4:30 a.m. thing. It's like, all right, let's get the fourth showing down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or the one where, like, I want to just watch it with just my buddies and not many other people in the theater.
Yes. No, I'm sure.
4:30, that's your opening.
Yeah.
If you want to go in.
There you go.
4:30.
You know, if I was at all functional at that time, but that was about 10 years ago since I've been able to do anything at 4:30 in the morning. But, no, I think this thing's going to be the biggest thing ever.
Awesome.
By far.
Awesome.
So I'm going 315.
All right. You're down.
I think that's a safe number.
Yeah, right? It feels safe.
And from there, we go to news from the HoloNet, We have some nice stories for you. There has been some negativity around, but let's talk about the Force for Daniel campaign. A man by the name of Daniel Fleetwood was given 2 months to live back in June, so he's already beaten the odds. And his lady companion, because I don't know if it's a wife or girlfriend, started this hashtag campaign, Force for Daniel, and the stars of the film, so like Mark Hamill, John Boyega, and even the companies, even like Disney retweeted it, Kevin Smith, like all sorts of folks made sure that this guy got to see Force Awakens before he passed, and this past week he got to see the movie. It wasn't like a super final touched up draft and cut, but I think this is a wonderful thing to do for a person. I wanted to bring it up because nice things can happen on the internet opposed to total negativity. What did you guys think of the story?
I loved it. I, you know, yes, usually the internet is just a giant dumpster fire of nonsense, but but when it puts its mind to it, to really doing something nice, it can. And yeah, this is as good, you know, as good a story as you can ask for. Like, I mean, you know, somebody in that position who all he wants to do is see this movie, absolutely, definitely get to let him. You know, and I love that JJ did it. I think he did the same thing for a fan before one of his Star Trek movies.
It was a Star Trek. It was for the second one.
Right. So, you know, hats off to him and just really everyone involved, because it's amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was handled particularly well, because maybe Disney could have ignored it, but with at the point where, like, the stars of the film are rebroadcasting it. But I think they handled it really well, not only in obviously doing it, but sending J.J. Abrams in. Being kind of quiet about it. It's not like Disney made a big, big, splashy press release.
They invited him to Disneyland.
Yeah, they let his partner just break the news on Facebook of like, mm-hmm. hey, thanks everybody, it worked. So it was nice and it was elegant.
Yes.
It was handled not only kindly, but elegantly.
It wasn't a PR move.
And it's, you know, and it's one of those horrible things of, you know, real life is real life, and then companies still have to do PR, and it's great that they can handle it in a way that's very, very positive. But very elegant and civilized.
Yeah, yeah, they haven't been, you know, patting themselves on the back the whole time. It's just this happened. Yeah.
It's like, hey, we got any other cancer patients out there? Like, no, it's just let's handle this and we do it and we got it. We also got a whole set of new movie posters. Wonderful, wonderful posters that give us a little bit more. I had to cut it down so that we could fit them all into one. But they all have sort of like a Dark Knight-esque. They have their weapon covering half of their face. Kylo Ren has his plasma sword, not necessarily his lightsaber, because that's the official term, is the plasma sword, with the uneven force and such nature. And again, Rey's got the staff. That's probably we've been talking about it forever, but the fact that it's featured so prominently, that Darth Plagueis' staff is covering her eye and is going to be a part.
So you're just saying Darth Plagueis' staff like it's true.
I mean, that's what it, what isn't it? That's what it is.
It's certainly one of the cool things about this poster is that we get a much closer look, and certainly the hardware looks like a part of Darth Maul's lightsaber. That's like an actual concrete thing that you can point to.
So you think that this might be something that she put together?
No, I'm just saying that in terms of inspiring theories that it is a lightsaber of some kind, that it has, that it might be Plagueis' staff in particular, that it has some element of Sith design. It's like the first concrete thing where you can just point to saying, here, it really does exactly look like this piece of Darth Maul's lightsaber. And I thought that was cool because I'm all for it being Darth Plagueis' staff, and I think a lot of the fan theory behind that is solid. But right now, it's all fan theory, so it was cool to see something that was like, no, that's the actual same thing. That's a concrete thing.
I can agree with that. Maybe like a pike sort of a thing as opposed to a full sword.
Yeah. I have no idea what it is. And the whole thing, and I think with we're going to talk about this with the trailer, the commercials, with these posters, I think we might be getting into the realm of J.J. Abrams Disney being tricky, where they're not lying, but they're saying, hey, look at this, so we don't look the other way. Right. You know, and I think it could just be a staff, too.
Dog and Pony Show. We also had Han Solo's poster and Finn's poster and Princess Leia's poster. What's your favorite poster so far?
Oh, Princess Leia by far, because
that seems to be the popular opinion.
Yeah. It was the newest. Mm-hmm. And it was just the one that just had the most excitement to me, because the other ones are cool design. These posters launched 1,000 eye test jokes, because when you put them all together, they do look cool individually, but the one thing in front of the eye. And Leia's, you know, it still keeps that motif, but it tells a little bit more of a narrative that she is in that command design that we know so well. And and the look on her face is just, I am in charge.
Yes.
I got this galaxy.
Yeah.
Step off. I got this problem solved.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely my favorite. I thought she's never looked better, you know, even in the gold. Just that look.
Yeah.
Even that face of just, I got this. And it looks awesome. I think it would have been really hilarious if Disney had released a Luke Skywalker poster and not a Kylo Ren one, just to mess with people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just to be like, yeah, that's a cute fan theory. Oh, look, where's Kylo Ren in the new posters?
Maybe he is in the new poster.
There have been some headlines on that. I do also like that about the more close-up of Kylo Ren's, that we really see the energy flaking off. Yeah.
That was a very close second for me, was that how much just raw energy and power is coming out of his saber.
Yeah.
Flipping nuts.
Yeah. His lightsaber or plasma sword.
Plasma sword. It's a plasma sword. And it's like, okay, sure. It's all light sticks. That's fun. And the last thing I wanted to show, we actually have a video. Part of the downloadable content for Battlefront, which is dropping next week, can't wait, is the Battle of Jakku, which is featured referenced pretty heavily in both the books, which we found out. Go ahead and play that and we'll watch that, as well as the trailers that we have seen so far. So this is 29 years before the events of the movie, and it 100% just puts you in the middle of crashing TIE fighters, crashing X-Wings, AT-ATs on the ground, and of course you see the Star Destroyer from the trailer, and the Super Star Destroyer falling to the planet.
Yeah.
And for any of you Lost Stars fans, that gets you a little bit more charged and excited.
We know name of that ship.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, the Inflictor. Yeah.
Yes, and it's one of the...
I haven't read it yet. Stop it.
Yeah. Well, get on that.
I have it. I just haven't read it yet.
Okay. Start reading now during the show.
Please do it. So I wanted to show that off just as an awesome way to bring, like we talked about how in the book especially, that brings you into that world even more, and now with the games we're seeing that even more so, where you're going to get that much, the Battle of Jakku, I lived that, I played that, I was there, as opposed to just, I read it.
Yeah.
So I really like that idea.
It looks like from the trailer it might reflect sort of what we know narratively about the battle, that it's kind of desperate on both sides up to a point where it's certainly the Empire's last big stand.
Mm-hmm.
The Empire as we know it from the classic trilogy, and the New Republic, not the Rebels anymore, but the New Republic wanting to just squash it. And even in that trailer, I kind of like that it seems like there's not two sides. It's not like Hoth, where one side is marching toward the other side, but that it's just chaos everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a more actual battle as opposed to, where it's the two sides coming together. It's just a lot more mayhem and better.
It's going to be pure insanity. I believe they're releasing two maps with that pack, so we're going to get that as well as a different part of Jakku.
Yeah.
So really excited about that.
And as a big Battlefront fan, do you think that there will be other little Easter eggs in the Jakku map?
I think it'll be the opposite. I think there'll be stuff that we'll see in the movies from the game.
Oh, cool.
Not necessarily super directly like, oh, that's General whatever's hat. Like, no, not something like that. But I think they took stuff from the set design from the movie and just peeled back the sand from 29 years, and we're only going to see some of the bigger stuff pop out.
Awesome.
Which is why I think the shot of the Star Destroyer's engine firing up while it was like on the ground is like, oh, well, that's the one from the trailer.
Cool.
So I think we're going to get more stuff like that.
Awesome.
As opposed to the others. And our last story, J.J. Abrams was recently interviewed by Wired Magazine. Joseph, you know a little bit more about this than I do.
Yeah, it's a really great interview. It goes into some insight on how J.J. Abrams felt about tackling the movie, a little bit about his relationship with Episode 8. So it's really insightful. But there are a couple things very casually dropped that are certainly big hints, possibly verging on spoilerish. Mm. So if you are super, I don't want to know anything more about The Force Awakens, maybe just read one of the highlight articles, but not the actual article.
I'm out of here.
And on that note of do we know too much already, we are going to talk about the new international trailer, and we are going to talk about the new television commercial. So we're going to break down sort of some of the new stuff and talk about how we feel about the new stuff. But first, I had a couple general questions for you guys. Is this too much footage for you guys? Are you happy to see all of it?
It's fine now. This is enough. Stop it.
There's rumor that there is one more international trailer.
Stop it. Does it? Stop it.
Okay. Yeah.
Stop it. And I was fine after the three.
Yeah.
The one that was released during the football game, that was fine. That was cool. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm done. And the international trailer was good. Gave us a little bit more. But I still fortunately feel like I don't know hardly anything about the movie. I know the characters involved. Starting to get hints and formulating a few theories in my head, but nothing. And I don't stop it.
Stay out of your head.
I don't
okay.
want to know.
Stop it times 18, yes, says Joe Ruggiero.
Yes, Disney, listen up. Stop it. Because I don't know too much yet.
Yes.
But if they keep going, I'm gonna. Yeah. And that's gonna upset me.
How about you, Mark?
I'm kind of in the same boat.
Yeah.
Like once that last trailer, it was really well really well put together. We got the love theme in there. With this the new international trailer, everybody's like, "There's so much new stuff." And I heard a couple lines that were different, but I like is that a lot? But then looking into it more, watching it again and again, I'm like, okay, I see it. I just want the movie.
Yeah.
If you want to release another trailer, just give me the movie instead. That'd be
yeah.
great.
Yeah, I think we are getting to that line, and I'm sure not every Star Wars fan feels this way, but I mm-hmm. think a lot of us hardcore fans feel like we have more than enough. We don't want any more because we want to experience the movie. And I wonder how much of going forward is. This is not for us. This is now for just normal people.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they sold the hardcore audience the day the movie was announced. Mm-hmm. Like, we all knew we were going to see it the second we knew it was existing. So now, yes, they're targeting people like my girlfriend who doesn't care about Star Wars, but now is going to see it anyway because she knows it's a big thing.
Yeah.
But even for those people, stop it.
Let's talk a little bit about though the motivations because I realize we're coming from we host a Star Wars show every
yes.
week and
yeah.
talk and think about it constantly. That isn't necessarily the total normal market. Why do you think that Disney/JJ Abrams are releasing? Why do you think they released so much this week? Because the character posters were a nice new thing. Mm-hmm. Then we got the international trailer out of nowhere, which obviously
It was D23 in Japan,
right?
So,
but we didn't know about it, right?
Fair enough.
Nobody was waiting for it. Like when D23 came around here, we were like, "What are we going to get?"
Yeah,
yeah.
And it wasn't even like
you're far more dialed in to the world of Disney mm-hmm. than I am, but I didn't even have a heads up that that mm-hmm. X was happening, so maybe
it certainly wasn't anything like the Monday Night Football where they're
utterly announced.
I had no idea it was coming. I mean, again, I think their motivation is get everyone on the planet in the theater.
Absolutely, and it makes sense of like maybe they just have sort of like mm-hmm. different marketing goals for international, so they're going to cut it differently.
Yeah.
But even within that, it feels tricksy and almost like a fun trickster way where they said there are no new trailers.
Yeah.
This isn't a new trailer. It's an international cut.
Right.
But then with enough new stuff to really excite and perhaps annoy through revelation of hardcore fans.
Yeah. Now there is one piece of dialogue in that trailer that I definitely didn't necessarily need to hear.
Yeah. We'll get into that in just a second.
So we'll repeat it on end.
Yeah. I know.
Real quick. What do you think they're? Do you think that they're just trying to keep it really, really alive, or do you think it's just standard business stuff of we need a trailer for international, we need a television show? So why do you think they're doing it, and why do you think they're not spacing it out more?
I'm hoping this is my hope. I think their plan is, of course, just to saturate as much as they can mm-hmm. to get everyone in there. I'm hoping their plan is kind of we had this past week all this new stuff, but we're still about a month and a half out. So maybe have this be the big thing and then, nothing. let it gestate so that by the time the movie comes back, sure, there'll be the trailers on TV and whatnot.
Yeah.
But nothing new. I guess we'll get one more international trailer.
But this is the thing. I don't think that they can.
But let it simmer nothing out. Yeah, let it simmer, and so that by the time it comes back, we'll be back to that.
Yeah.
Yes, as opposed to now where it's like,
I feel so excited about this. I'm using my high squeaky voice, as you can hear, right? Yeah. Not my broadcasting voice. But yeah. See, that's the thing is, I don't think they can let it sit. I think they've gotten it to a fever pitch, and they need to keep it at that fever pitch to actually break those opening weekend records in these high numbers that people are guessing. So I feel like they're going to have to keep doing that. Surprise, there's one more thing, and I just don't know how they're going to keep it up.
I think if anything, that'll be maybe early December will be the last international trailer. This one seemed like for marketing. Like this one didn't even seem – I mean, that's all the trailers are anyway. But
right.
But this one, for that audience, having more BB-8, I think made sense. It's like,
yeah.
Here's what's going to be everywhere.
Right.
This character is going to be everywhere. So having him front and center at the top of this trailer made for this market is going, oh, he's going to be an important part of this movie.
Yeah, an electronics figure that looks like he could have rolled out of an anime. Yeah, it makes perfect sense to market. So we're going to get a little bit into some of the specific differences. First, we're going to talk through the trailer about the new stuff, and then we're going to talk through the commercial. So starting with the trailer, one of the news things is I thought the whole different cut of the trailer was just had much more of a hopeful vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, the music was brighter in tone. It used different music. It used the sort of epic Destiny, hopeful, binary sunset theme instead of darker themes. And we had a new shot of a sunset by a moisture evaporator.
Yeah.
And what looked like Ray's speeder going through the background.
Yeah, exactly. Really cool. So it looked like that it was really connecting Jakku to Tatooine of like, well, they're similar environments. They have similar technology. How do you guys feel about seeing that shot that made it look so similar to shots we've seen before? Are you guys still excited about things that are samey?
Yeah. No, One of the things that JJ gets right sometimes is doing things
homage.
Yeah, doing things that can do both. Pay homage to the old while bringing it into the new. So yes, there are hints of Tatooine throughout Jakku and those shots. And that's all we have to go on so far. So I don't know that this will turn out to be the case, but I'm hoping the planet overall will that end up being different and interesting enough that it won't just be like, oh, it's Tatooine 2.0.
There's a planet. Jakuine.
Yeah. But I do like that, cause it does, you want to echo the old stuff. They released that poster too that had Kylo Ren right in the middle, mm-hmm. and it looked like a classic Star Wars poster, but still, of course, had Kylo Ren and the new stuff. But,
yeah.
So I think it is a nice balancing act of the original trilogies, the first six movies, but also here's the new people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mark, what did you think of it?
I it's a generational thing. It's here's something that are going to give the classic fans some warm and fuzzies, and mm-hmm. here's a new place that'll give the kids warm and fuzzies when they watch it with their kids.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like it. If there's going to be multiple desert planets, because why wouldn't there be in a giant galaxy?
Yeah.
Of course they would have the same technology. So yes. I like that it's not, that it's we've talked about with the amount of expanded fiction that there's going to be in comic books, video games, that you need a little bit of internal logic. So I like that. Yeah. Desert planets need moisture evaporators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is it going to do? So as Mark mentioned already, there is also just a ton of BB-8. Mm-hmm. It almost made it look like this is Star Wars 7, Adventures of BB-8, which was great. And I think one of the great new things that it had is the most BB-8 chatting, for sure.
Like the first, public chatter? Like, if you didn't watch any
heard,
of the...
We've heard squeak, like, just a couple little squeaks here and there.
Okay. Yeah, there was
but
a little
this
bit
is the first one where he's, like, having a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was that little bit in the first trailer, that first shot of him going, and he's kind of... Blah, blah, blah. But first where we've really heard him talking.
And I was thrilled by his voice.
Yeah.
So we got that. And then we got the little conversation with Rey, which was new dialogue. And this, to me, is one of the biggest things for when I was watching it. It was like, do you know what you're saying to fans?
Yeah.
Where Rey says, I know all about waiting. And then there's some BB-8 chatter, which makes it sound like he's saying, what you waiting for? Yeah. And she says, for my family.
Gee, I wonder who she's talking
she's
about.
She's a Palpatine.
She's a something.
A long line of Palpatines.
Lost niece of Sheev.
When you guys saw it, obviously, I'm sure you had the reaction of like, that's new information for us that she has a she's not a rando orphan.
Nope.
She has a sense of family.
I bet we already know who her parents are.
Well, that's hotly debated. So what do you think, Joe Ruggiero? Who do you think her parents are?
I mean, it's got to be some combo of Han, Leia, and or Luke. Like, either she's Luke's daughter by something else that we don't know about, or
know about that, Joe.
Or Luke and Leia got no. Or lost kid of Han and Leia. Like, that's just it's
okay. So,
one of
so you feel like that's confirmation that she is a Skywalker solo?
Yes.
Awesome, Mark. How did you take it?
Cool. We've been talking about it for weeks now, so it's like, all right, cool. Now we know that she's at least related to somebody in the film. Cool. And not really like this trailer was awesome and I really enjoyed it, but it was a lot of cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, to me, I felt like that it didn't add information, but it added a shade, like it added a tone to the movie.
Yeah.
The idea that she is waiting for her family. You know, that's the kind of thing that I am on the fence about hearing more, because it gets me speculating more about her background, about how she ended up there.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, I know it's, again, it's not like that's a conversation that hasn't been happening since that first shot of her in the first trailer, where you sort of saw what might have been a lightsaber on her speed, and that began the whole thing. So we've kind of been making that connection the whole time, but this seems to be, which... You know, as you said earlier, could either be a great misdirection of them going, oh, here, we're giving you this, but the reality is way over here, and you're never going to see it coming. Or, she's on Leia's kid.
Yeah. So, continuing down the line, and this is the one that I actually thought was the most sort of J.J. Abrams whacking a fan beehive on purpose, is we have basically the exact same...
He'd do it, too.
Kylo Ren dialogue with literally one sentence and one word that makes a new difference, where he says, I will fulfill our destiny.
Yep.
I will finish what you started, while looking at the Vader helmet. So when I heard that, I also had the reaction. But the more I think about it, trying to be a little bit more measured, I feel like that could be a reference to a family destiny. Or it could be a reference to this is the destiny of the practitioners of the dark side. So how did you guys react? How did you interpret it?
I my brain started going down one particular family related rabbit hole that I didn't want to go down. So then I kind of thought, well, maybe he's just saying, us Sithies.
Yeah.
But you went down the Skywalker hole.
Totally went down the, and then especially because there's the shot of him and Rey, and they're kind of starting to sort of put those two together.
Yeah.
Stop it!
Because we showed the picture already, or we're still seeing it. He could have killed her.
Yep.
But for some reason he's restraining her.
Interesting. We'll get to that big old shot in a moment. How did you interpret it?
I just first thought of the prophecy, like the Jedi prophecy, not even the Sith one.
Oh, the chosen one.
Just like
interesting,
and bringing balance to the Force. If the light side has been going strong for the past 30 years, we need to balance that out somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there needs to be the awakening of the Force could be of the dark side of the Force.
And one other idea I had is that if he is truly a Darth Vader fanatic, maybe his our destiny is him and Vader. Like he's like, all right, well, you did what you could, now I got this.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think I reacted
and with maybe no family related again, there's that, but not even necessarily because he may not know or whatever, but he's just like, I love this dude, I'm gonna try to do what he did.
And I think I reacted strongly because in my little fan heart I kind of want Kylo Ren to be a fan. I think that's a new story, just to be a fan of Vader, because I think that's a new story.
And so many people
are accepting, like we have comments on Jedi Alliance, like from great fans and everything, but we'll just say like, well, yeah, because Darth Vader's his grandfather. I think a certain amount of us have just accepted that as fact, and when I first heard our destiny, it felt like, boom, confirmed, and then I calmed down and took a step back.
Yeah, because I
had a conversation with fellow fans.
Yeah, because it's set up in a way that they are a reinterpretation of certain characters from the expanded universe that is no longer canon, that I think a lot of fans, when it was first announced that all that is out the window, they kind of went, but wait, but what about it? And this could be set up like that, but I do like it better if he's just a big Darth Vader fan.
Yeah.
And it's
posts
just like,
of him up on his wall, like on his ceiling. Just
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Just, you know, and he just walks around and goes, almost there.
Hey, speaking like, of, that's a great segue. We haven't talked about this on the show yet. How do you guys feel about Kylo Ren's voice? Because some people are kind of down on Kylo Ren's voice. How do you guys?
Badass.
You like
badass.
It?
Yeah, yeah.
It's cool, and it harkens to him being a big fan.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
just wanting to be like Darth Vader as much as he can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's basically, you know, if there is no known family connection, he's basically just doing Vader cosplay.
Yeah.
and I dig that.
He's an OC. He's a Vader exactly. OC.
Here's what I liked about the voice is it sounds like someone cleaned up Bane
mm-hmm.
and made him easy to understand. So it kind of takes
menacing.
Him into modern movie making and not just an knockoff of Vader, but I also liked for big evil voice. Like, we've been moving in a direction where big evil voices are super hard to actually comprehend in movies.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Yeah, I think
I love that he has good diction, is what I'm saying.
I think it'll be nice to actually know what the hell he's saying.
then we also have new shots of Leia, Poe Dameron, and some other guy in the background.
Some other guy.
Which I could try to research, but I just want to know him as some other guy right now.
Yeah.
Get a C-3PO with the red arm. They're all in the command station. That looks cool. We get a shot on board Millennium Falcon of Rey and Finn introducing themselves to one another, which I don't feel like that certainly didn't spoil anything.
No.
Well, I guess other than they really didn't know each other.
And how long is their escape from Jakku?
Yeah.
Where they don't have enough time to go, what's your name? Like, they're just like, we gotta get the hell out of here! Like,
yeah, so I guess it is a spoiler in that sense of, you know, that's that kind of piece putting together where if you're watching the movie and like, well, they're not on the Falcon yet. Mm-hmm. And we know they have to be, you know, before they say one another's names. But I liked it in the trailer because it felt weighty. I know a lot of people don't like the scene in the prequels where Anakin and Obi-Wan meet each other. But I like how casual it is. And as a Star Wars fan, you're like, but that's everything, you know?
Yeah.
And you get a sense that that's maybe the same kind of thing of like, hi, what's your name?
Yeah,
it's my name.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, in the context of the film, it is just them going, hey, what's up? How you doing?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know,
and we know, like, well,
like,
this is
the biggest thing that's
meeting
ever happened.
Of fate, of destiny, of some kind. Then we have a little bit of a recut version of Han's speech. Not as elegant, where he just says, the Force, it's true, all of it.
All of the Force, ever.
All the forces are true. And then, I'm kind of speeding along because I want to make sure that we have time to discuss what I think are some of the meatier things. We got a nice Chewie roar, a unique and different close-up of his Wookiee fingers pressing a detonator, which then seems to cut to that explosion. That might just be some trickery. He might not be blowing up those actual First Order people.
But he's blowing up something.
Yeah.
And thank goodness.
Yeah.
There's lots to talk about in this little shot. Then in that explosion, there's a tiny Wilhelm scream.
That was, to be perfectly honest, that was probably the thing that I was the most upset about.
Really?
It's like, yeah, they spoiled the Wilhelm scream. That's something where you go, oh, there it is. Awesome. But it's like, you put it in the trailer already?
Well, do you think it really will be... A Wilhelm scream is an easy thing to move about.
Yes. Fair enough, but it's like, well, why did you have to put it in the international trailer, the Japanese trailer?
Well, I mean,
do they know Wilhelm personally?
Maybe,
probably.
Yeah. Wilhelm's huge in Japan.
So, good enough. Fair enough.
They have Wilhelm Day in Japan.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea what's
fair enough.
I'm sure there are whole Wilhelm clubs where you just dance to the. To the Wilhelm scream.
Yeah.
I think that they saw the Jedi Alliance where we debated,
clearly,
should there be a Wilhelm scream in all future Star Wars movies?
Yes.
And JJ was like, I got this. Don't worry.
Well, JJ's a fan of the show. You know that. That's why he's calling people now and be like, we got to shut the marketing down. Stop it. Joe said stop. Shut it down.
No.
So you're welcome, America.
So what did you guys think? I've heard some people a little bit unnerved by the close-up and the push-in on Chewie's fingers. Was that weird to you? Or are you guys like, Wookiee fingers, awesome.
Dude, it's Chewie.
And it's an action shot.
Yeah.
It's somebody detonating something. You got to get close in on that.
It's Chewbacca blowing something up. Who would ever have a problem with that?
Yeah, I think that...
Come on, man.
Well, I think the fact that it is sort of a push-in on something that we certainly haven't pushed in on before, which is Chewie's fingers. So I think there's a little bit of that sort of like action movie shot. The actual detonator going off, I think there are just a lot of things there, like in contrast to the sunset on the moisture evaporator, a lot of things there were like, That's new. Mm-hmm. That's not super Star Wars-like.
Yeah.
The actual push-in, what it's pushing in on, in the detonation.
I don't think that those shots are in order necessarily.
Yeah.
I think it's just for the trailer, but a reintroduction to Chewie could be a close-up of a Wookiee hand and a detonating, and then you go, was that Chewbacca? And then he shows up, and you're like, awesome! And then that's when you see the close-up. That could be something that's kind of familiar but new.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. I'm excited to see new stuff. I'm excited to see weird stuff because I think Star Wars, much as it's about like the epic and the sunset and the destiny, that it's also about weird. So I'm happy to see that stuff. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the Wilhelm Scream, Joe Ruggiero?
I don't think I even really notice them anymore. It's just like, okay. Yeah.
They're just a normal part of your day?
Yeah. It happens to me on a daily basis, so it's...
Soundboard on your phone. Yeah. Soundboard on your phone anytime somebody trips you play. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's
yeah.
just life now.
Yeah. Yeah. I was excited to hear it, because again, to me, it was about that sense of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that sense of fun is still going to be there, and that sense of playfulness. And then we got the shot they've been using here for our photo, if you're watching on YouTube, the shot that I think a lot of people are talking about, of Kylo Ren putting his plasma lightsaber sword blade to Rey's throat on some sort of wooded planet and or moon. Mm-hmm. So what did you guys think of that? So for me, as I was enjoying / enduring this trailer, because there was so much new, that was the one where it's like, come on.
Yeah.
And this goes to what we've talked about on the show a lot, where it's sort of what looks like a major event.
Mm-hmm. So this looks like we're in the middle of Act 2.
Right, mm-hmm. right. I think we're, you know, a lot of what we've gotten, we've been promised, is you're just seeing Act 1. Mm-hmm. This seems like, if not Act 2, certainly the final beat of Act 1.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sort of a new relationship, right? Because you were saying we haven't really seen these characters together.
No, not at all. No. So it's... I mean, it's impressive. Again, you see the power of that saber, and you got to see it unfurled in such a way. He, like, the first time we saw it, he did it in such a way where it was like, now! Like, it's really just full of strength. And with this one, he just let it happen. And with how unruly that blade can be, could have killed her. So we don't know the purpose of this meeting and the fact that he didn't just go straight up and cut her in half. There's a reason.
Yeah. What did you think, Joe?
I think I agree with everything he said, and you know, but it was definitely one of those where I was like, because since she does mention she's waiting for her family, that puts the family thing in your head, and then you see these two big characters with mysterious backgrounds together, and he's hesitating, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't kill this person. With whom I have some sort of connection, like
whom I've never met before in my life.
Yeah, like it, you know. And again, that could just be them toying with us. The great misdirection, which in a way I hope so. Maybe there's some completely unrelated reason.
Yeah, maybe
for
this
that
is a blooper.
We haven't even
off-screen
come to
blooper.
Yeah, this may not even
and
be
animated movie. For some. Yeah.
Or it's one of their biggest giveaways, and I really wish I hadn't seen it. So it's one of the two.
I should probably clarify, for as much as I am kvetching about not wanting to see, I do appreciate that there is a ton that we clearly don't know. Mm-hmm. I think I just got spoiled after the Monday Night Football trailer. I was so surprised that they didn't show us full Luke. I was so surprised that they really kept it mostly to what appears to be the first act and a couple of action shots.
Yeah.
So I think it was just, more than anything, it's just sort of readjusting to, like, no, they got to keep putting out little beats like this that don't tell us anything, but you're sitting in a theater.
You get more questions.
Yeah. Exactly.
More questions pop up in your head.
Yeah. And not even in your head, just everywhere there is people talking about Star Wars. You know, you don't even have to think it. You go on Twitter and, you know, like, you scroll through.
This was the screenshot that most people use. So even if I had said, sure, I host a Star Wars show, I'm still not going to watch the trailer, which I wouldn't do because I feel like I want to report on it.
Right.
But my choice would have been taken away. I would have seen that shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you could scroll through Twitter looking for something else, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, so that's happening. Like you can't – we do live in an age where it's really hard to avoid stuff like this.
Yeah.
You know, as I said earlier, I thought the job they did with the first three trailers where they showed us a lot but told us nothing and just got all of us – going, put the movie out tomorrow. Like, that was brilliant. And now they're kind of really starting to get towards that line of like, no, really, I don't want to know who they are.
Yeah.
Like, just show me the damn movie, please. Yeah.
And then the final new thing was the new line from Maz Kanata, who basically narrated the other trailer, the international trailer. She has a different line. She says, "Hope is not lost today, it is found." Which overall, I think, contributes to the general positive nature of this trailer, that it's more positive, less conflict-oriented than the trailer we saw during Monday Night Football. And also, like that sunset shot, really harkens directly back to A New Hope by literally saying, basically, there's a new hope.
Yeah.
And certainly the trailer, in it, we were focused on Ray the whole time, and certainly this trailer is really adding to, like, whatever else, whoever else might be a Skywalker, the whole cast might be Skywalkers in Solos, but certainly more and more like it, like Rey is. So how did you guys feel about that? Did you want that? Did you like having more a new Maz Kanata line? Or was that also in there, like, come on?
Yeah. No, I like that line because, yeah, it didn't give anything away. It did say, you know, anytime you say hope around Star Wars people, they immediately go back to that first one. And, you know, one of the big themes, certainly of that original trilogy and A New Hope, is the hopeful, optimistic view that Star Wars overall has and always has. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great that that seems to be, you know, part of this new run.
Yeah, the vision of hope. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
I agree. It's a good button.
Awesome. Yeah, I thought it was a great button. We're going to talk just a little bit about the commercial. We'll keep it kind of fast because we want to have plenty of time for our mind probe. So this is the one where I said a naughty word to my phone because I had literally just kind of finished going through the international trailer and making these notes and digesting, like, well, I didn't want to know some of that, but I've accepted. Yeah. Son of a!
Yeah. And there are F words on our notes, but it's not probably the one that you said. Fun.
For a 30-second commercial, they packed in a bunch more new stuff.
They sure did.
We had a new shot of the Millennium Falcon flying over a lake with a little palace or base in the background. We've seen whatever this lake, perhaps the lake and the woods location are the same, maybe. Mm-hmm. We don't know. But it's a cool shot. We see Han in a sort of Hoth-like snow planet jacket, which I thought was interesting because that's one of the few images that has been sort of a direct callback to the classic trilogy in not A New Hope.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a clear callback to something that we powerfully associate with Empire Strikes Back. I mean, we've seen the snow planet before, but that was the first of, like, it's Han in a sort of jacket like I recognize.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the thing that was, I think, perhaps weirdest to me. We get more Maz Kanata speaking. And I'm starting
especially
to feel
like... Especially for a character that we haven't seen yet.
We have no idea. Nope. And I appreciate that we still have no idea what Maz Kanata looks like. But it's making me feel like Maz Kanata is either really chatty or we've heard everything that this character has to say.
Or we already know every line she has.
And she says, I have lived long enough to see the same eyes in different people. I see your eyes. I know your eyes. And it is cut to intersperse a lot of our characters to make more hints pop for us if we want.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you guys think of hearing even more Maz Kanata? Were you still like, this is fine? Or were you like, really, Maz Kanata, zip it?
It was really... The way that they cut this part together with the other characters, like, right after, it's like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Do you think you know what that means? I don't know. Oh, I don't know if you know what that means. Like, they're like, come on, just stop. Stop.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like it was nice, Trixie, because basically saying to Rey, you are the new hope, connects her to Luke.
Rey of hope.
Rey of hope.
Oh, boy.
All right. And then saying, I see your eyes, I know your eyes, cutting from Rey to Han. I feel like that we've had two things that verify either fan theory of if she is a Skywalker Solo, from which branch.
That's what that's what this commercial was, to me. Was this commercial kind of it casually confirmed that.
So you feel like... You feel like Rey
especially
is,
with the very with the very end. Solos.
Okay,
especially with the very end.
Cool. I wrote down that we get Rey whacking someone with her staff on Jakku. Fun. Yeah. I wrote on my notes because I think it's. I didn't mention in that previous trailer, but we see a shot of her running and jumping her staff and grabbing her staff. I thought it was great to just kind of see her in action.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the previous shot of her shooting, but just further moving her into, like, no, she's going to do everything that a main hero in Star Wars does. She's, you know, not just like. the quiet orphan of destiny.
She's the
action.
I will hit you with a stick.
Yeah, I will hit you with might be a very important staff,
yes.
Or could just be,
just be a stick.
A piece of junk.
Yeah.
And then the tagline, every generation has a story, which isn't spoken. It's just on screen.
Like that. It's a good line. A lot.
Yeah.
It's a really great line.
And I thought it was really cool. We've talked a little bit about on the show about how every single commercial pretty much for the product placement tie-ins, not product placement, but the product tie-ins have that theme of generation. Mm. So it was cool to see it just explicitly sort of bundled in what is one of their main ad sources for reaching normal people.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool to tie that all together. A little bit of a prequel callback, because those commercials and trailers would have that every generation has a beginning. I'm not quoting that exactly right, but I is a guy who does not hate
every,
the prequels.
Every saga has a beginning?
Yeah, but there's definitely a rhythm to it, and I appreciated that.
Every this has a that.
Every this has a that. Well, the Mad Lib for advertising Star Wars.
Yeah, and as this is, the kind of third generation of Star Wars films, I think that it definitely fits kind of the theme they're going with.
Yeah, yeah. And then we get a quick shot of Rey shooting at Kylo Ren, and Kylo Ren kind of deflecting it, unless that's cut weird.
How could she shoot at him when he's her... What? Wait, what happened?
Skywalker Hole Brothers.
Sorry, what?
So you can say your suspicions out loud here on Jedi Alliance. That's what we do.
I think once he says them, he'll just not want to believe anything that comes out of his mouth anymore.
You think they're twins, don't you? Just say it, Joe Ruggiero. You think Kylo Ren and Rey are twins?
This is Funko really does some good job.
Yeah,
with
and the accent
finals.
On the
like,
white.
All right, well, thanks for watching on Jedi. No, all right,
it's so adorable.
All right, is this the final shot that you're talking about?
I think
the Falcon bursting through the trees.
Loved it
because we've seen the shot of Daisy Ridley in the cockpit. Where she's sitting, may or may not be this. The connection that they put with the line and her and Han, and then every generation has a story on top of that. This is just like, she escaped on the Falcon.
Yeah.
And that could be the charge that Chewie is setting off to distract Kylo Ren and the thing, and then they blast off. I know it's a different trailer, but still.
Yeah.
Like, this screams Han is getting Rey out of there. But something happens to Han to where she has to fly it out.
Interesting. So you're not tracking these events have happened way in the past. You're sort of tracking as these are events that are happening in the first Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Okay. See, to me, the connections are making me more think about, like, what is Rey's story before the Force Awakens. But I absolutely take your meaning. And I think between these two, especially, like, the Rey deflecting the shot with Kylo Ren, like, obviously it doesn't go well for her.
No.
Because
she's going to need a hand.
She ends up with the laser plasma lightsaber sword toward her neck. So we're definitely getting to the point where we're getting little flashes. If you're just a regular human being, you're like, cool, Star Wars, another shot. Yeah. Hey, look, a Wookiee's blowing something up. If you obsess, if you tumble in sleep with your dreams, you can start putting together little bits of the narrative.
Especially that last shot, one of the biggest things I took away from this, from all these trailers is that, my God, this thing is going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, just the effects.
And it's well shot.
All
lighting.
It's just going to be gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved, the past trailer of the shot of the Falcon jumping to light speed. But from the front,
yes,
where you saw it going by, and then this with its crash, this thing's just going to be eye candy.
Yeah, yeah. If nothing
it's
else,
just and hopefully an awesome, really compelling story too. But at least it's going to be real pretty.
If nothing else, the eye candy will awaken.
Yes,
really good. From there, let's hit Mind Probe really quick. Do you want to do all these, or should we skip around? What do you think?
Let's see how many we can get done.
All right, so let's go top. Starting from the top, Kirk Heisen asks, what species do you think Supreme Leader Snoke will be? A Mun, Trandoshan, human, Rodian, or Gollum?
Just kidding, that last one.
Wrote Gollum, but kidding on that last one. What do you guys think?
I think where he is, where Kirk is leading us to discuss, Darth Plagueis in old canon is a Mun. Mm-hmm. That is the aliens who are in charge of the banking clan, so we see them in the prequels. I love that alien. So if Snoke is Plagueis, which some fan theories suggest he is, I think it'd be great to have him be a Mun. If he's not, I would love to see him be a Zabrak, to be Darth Maul's species. So, because I would love for whoever this Supreme Leader Snoke is to look real evil. Yeah. And Zabrax look real, if not evil, like they can really take you out. So I vote for a scary alien.
Yeah.
A scary alien.
That's canon.
An alien-looking alien.
Joe. Yeah. I don't think he's any of those. Yeah. I would go with Anzadi.
Mm.
Or the snot vampires, if you will. Speaking of scary looking, because they got the tentacles on the... But also they have ties to the Sith. One of them was one of Dooku's acolytes back in the day.
Interesting.
So they're... And they're... The thing that because his quote is, you know, where he's talking about something as awakened, like, so that to me spoke of him being a force sensitive type species.
Yeah.
And the Anzadi are known as a force sense, like they basically suck the force out of other people. And then that increases their own force power and they're force sensitive. So I thought that was
cool.
That's an awesome pull.
Thank you.
That's awesome. I like the design of the Mun as well. I figure because they're doing the digital tracking on him, though, it could be a species that we haven't even seen yet.
Yeah. So I think that's a good
there's
bet.
That, too. Yeah, it could be some we've never even heard of.
So I'm kind of thinking of that, though I do like the Mun design a lot.
Yeah.
I think it makes the most sense. Our next question, speaking of Andy Serkis, he asks, Lawrence London, do you think we'll get a cameo by a non-motion captured Andy Serkis, perhaps a market seller on Jakku or a member of the criminal underworld?
Probably not, because I don't think we need it. I mean, it's Andy Serkis, and that would just be kind of distracting, because it would take you out of the movie, and you'd be like, hey, look, it's Andy Serkis.
Such an interesting comment. A dude who's awesome at motion capture. The motion capture performance is what sucks you in, but seeing him as a human just walking around, no, what is he doing there?
Well, I can't do it. Like, I'm fine with him in a movie, but only doing one or the other, I think. You know, I just, that's just
big. Joe Ruggiero, Andy Serkis, please.
Because he is the best motion capture guy on the planet, but he was fine in Age of Ultron as his regular face, and I'm fine with that. I just think that a cameo of him, being a market seller, it's a little gimmicky, and because if he's not going to be like a big main character, he could certainly play two important roles.
Yeah,
but if it's just like him going hello, I think that would draw.
Oh, he's not going to turn it.
Yes.
But I mean, did you think it was weird when Lucas was in the prequels in Episode 3?
I think a lot about the prequels was weird.
Little cameo.
No,
something that small.
No, it's not like if it happens, I'm going to run out of the
money
theater.
Back.
That's it. Yeah, I mean,
the prequels were lousy with those kind of cameos. We saw Ahmed Best, we saw Anthony Daniels. So I think that's maybe where this question is coming from.
It's nothing about his ability to be a completely wonderful, amazing guy. I just think in the narrative of the film, I don't think we necessarily need to see him as something else just for the sake of going, hey, look, it's Andy Serkis doing something else.
Yeah, I would love to see him in a cameo as King Kong.
Just there we go.
Stomping through the background.
If he's doing
just that, in the middle of space, doing some space work.
a cameo as King Kong with Caesar riding him. So it's a double cameo.
My actual
and Gollum hanging out of his mouth.
My actual for real guess is I think they won't do as many sort of cute wink, wink, nod, nod things with The Force Awakens, but I think we might start seeing some of those things in future movies.
Yeah, I think if Snoke makes it to 8, I have no idea about the character, so I'm just saying that randomly. If Snoke makes it, or doesn't make it to 8, then I think we'll see Serkis like, here, now you can be you.
Sure.
I think it was like the fun rumor that Daniel Craig is a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
I think it'll be something like that. Our next question comes from Matthew Edwards. Phelps, with the new movie being released, many people have told Star Wars newbies that they don't need to see the prequels. Some are even recommending not to watch any of the films and watch Star Wars for the first time with The Force Awakens. Do you guys agree, or just watching the original would be sufficient for The Force Awakens? So, no movies, or just the originals, or just the prequels for some reason, but do you think that you can go in just watching The Force Awakens and enjoy it?
Yes. And I think technically you could probably get away with just watching the original trilogy and see Force Awakens and not be lost. But, Joseph, are you ready for this?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
As you know.
Bring it, my friend.
And viewers know I'm not the biggest prequel fan. But, for better or worse, they're part of the story that The Force Awakens is continuing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really want to know what this whole thing is, you got to watch all six.
Yeah.
You just have to. I'm not saying it'll be the most pleasant viewing experience, but I think they have become a necessary part of the entire story. And yes, I think newbies could walk off the street and just go watch The Force Awakens and probably, you know, not miss much or, you know, nothing major.
Yeah.
But if you're really going to commit to, I'm going to watch Star Wars and experience the full Star Wars thing, watch all six movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you want people to watch that movie with you, make sure to download Josephine Meyer's watch-alongs that we did for episodes 1, 2, and 3.
There you go.
With episode 4 coming out on Thursday, we're going to be doing.
Yeah,
so there's
yeah.
sweet, sweet fun plug. What about you, Joseph?
I think that they are making The Force Awakens so you can watch it. So yes. It is. There's mm-hmm. nothing that is, you know, that needed knowledge. I think you can just have passing knowledge that Luke, Han, and Leia exist, and they did some stuff with The Force.
Yeah.
And Darth Vader died, right? But I agree with you that if you want to be a real Star Wars purist, that seeing the story of episode 1 through 3 and 4 through 6 is really necessary. And I do, the more stuff I see, I feel like they have distanced themselves in broad steps from mm-hmm. the prequels. But I feel like if there is anything to, that's Darth Plagueis' staff, or Snoke is Darth Plagueis, that's a real solid connection to the world of the prequels.
Yeah.
And I feel like there is going to be some stuff that really actually narratively calls back.
I agree. I think we're going to be put in the same place that we were in 4. If somebody's coming in watching episode 7 for the first time, it's like, oh, well, then there's this world with these Jedi and this dark side, and what is that? But it's the same sort of mindset that you go into watching 4 for the first time.
Yeah.
So I don't think people will need to see it because JJ is that good of a director.
Yeah.
But I think it'll just help.
Yeah.
Some people aren't as confused. And our last question is kind of a fun one. Eric Bay Anderson asks, who/which character will first say a Star Wars bit? Like, I've got a bad feeling about this, or here we go again, or something like that. Who do you want it to be?
I would love the I've got a bad feeling about this line to be given to R2-D2. So that it is technically there, but it's not so on the nose.
He gets all of the callbacks, we just don't know.
Yeah, I do actually hope that a new character says it. I hope Finn or Rey says it.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we have to keep getting a little bit more snippets of new footage, if we get a Finn or a Rey saying, I've got a bad feeling about this.
Because mm-hmm.
that's going to be another sort of fan enticing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, if they do have Rey say it, and I have this nightmare of Rey saying it with Han, like, standing behind her and just going,
And then everyone goes, wait, that means the... I think we're going to get that with That's No Moon. Because by the look of Starkiller Base, I think we might get that. We might get Han saying, That's No Moon.
Oh, interesting.
Just going like,
damn it.
And then just like self-realizing in his head, like, oh that's weird.
I didn't even mean to say that.
This time I'm the grumpy old guy, huh?
Yeah. Man. I feel like I've got a bad feeling about this, though, is the dialogue version of the Wilhelm scream. It's right on the fence of like, maybe a little like on the nose, but how could you not?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. What do you think, Mark?
That's.
Agreed.
That's what I thought.
What you said.
Your whole thing. All right. Well, we have a good feeling about the Duel of the Fates.
Yay!
Our final segment. There is our music. We summon the evil forces, or perhaps the good forces. We'll see how our week goes.
And
last
fire.
Week's Duel of the Fates question was, if you were a Sith Lord, who would you rather have as your apprentice, Darth Maul or Darth Vader? Joe Ruggiero, what is your quick answer?
Maul.
Right. Why would you want Maul?
Because Vader is too independent thinking.
He's got a lot going on.
Yeah. Maul, you're just like, you, go kill.
Yeah.
Okay. Vader's Maul's like, all right, but also plotting.
Yeah, so Maul won by a small margin basically because of that, because he seems like Sith Employee of the Month.
Yeah.
Where he just does what he's told.
Just, who do you need me to cut?
He gets that speeder parking spot right in front of Sith HQ.
He won by the loyalty and the general terror factor of he's just physically a little bit more terrifying.
Yeah.
Lots of people were like, it's good to have a complicated employee, so I want Vader.
Uh-huh.
But Maul did one out. And I wanted to give a shout-out to one of the comments. We asked our Duel of the Fates questions on our Facebook page. We'll put this week's up tomorrow, and you can weigh in. Shout-out to Lem Bandala. One, for having a great Star Wars
name.
That's
a great Star Wars
name. Yeah. Lem Bandala. Apologies if I get that wrong.
From Jakku. Yeah.
From Jakku. He said, Vader, he or she, I guess I don't know, Vader, as somebody who would eventually succeed me and more likely kill me to do it, I think I'd feel more at ease having Vader be the next top Sith. I like that turn of phrase. I feel like Maul just doesn't have the command and the right mind for the role. This Sith Lord thinks ahead. So he totally taking on the role of Sith Lord. Thank you very much, Lem Bandala.
Yeah, see, I'm too selfish for that sort of thing. I'm like, no. I'm the Sith Lord.
We got a lot of great complex answers, really thinking through the question, which is what we love. We love hearing fans really think these things through. This week's question, if you could have either in real life, would you want a lightsaber or a good blaster by your side? Joe Ruggiero.
The answer is always lightsaber.
To everything.
To everything. Anytime lightsaber is an option, that's always the answer.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it took me a little bit longer trying to think of what's more practical, what's this, but lightsaber.
Yeah. Lightsaber, yeah.
You could do more with a lightsaber than you can with a blaster, just practically.
Yeah.
But there is more, like, cutting every single piece of your body off if you accidentally, like, fiddle with it and it opens up, and then, hey, you're gored and in half. That's perfect.
Yeah.
No, I think it has a little bit more of a use than a good old blaster at your side.
Yeah. I wanted to answer blaster because I don't trust myself with a lightsaber. I will immediately lose a limb, if not a limb if I'm lucky.
Yeah.
I'll cut my head off. But then I came around to the idea that a lightsaber is a symbol of responsibility.
Yep.
Yeah.
Any old person can point a blaster and shoot something, but a lightsaber you really have to be careful with.
Yes.
And I think I'd learn a lot about responsibility.
But, yeah. Well, I think the lightsaber has a more commanding intimidation factor too. It's like, you know, anyone can pull out a blaster and, like, it's like, okay, well, I got mine too.
Well, it all depends upon the pose. Yeah,
but you pull out the lightsaber and they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, your friends back away.
Jedi business.
Yes.
Jedi business. Like Anakin yelled in Attack of the Clones.
Yep.
Jedi business. The way he doesn't deliver it like that. Like
Jedi business.
Like a James Brown song is about to start.
That's a good band
my
name.
Poor delivery.
Jedi business?
Yeah,
Jedi business.
That's a good
band.
Well,
we are going to wrap up for this week. We'll put our Duel of the Fates questions out there for you guys to answer on our Facebook page. Joe Ruggiero, can you tell the people where they can find you?
You can find my writings on geeknation.com and find me on Twitter at JoeRue23.
Awesome.
And you can find me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark. I here do a bunch of shows for the Popcorn Talk Network. Well, a couple shows for the Popcorn Talk Network, including Video Game Movie Anatomy. Next week we're doing Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life, to celebrate the new release of the new Tomb Raider game. And also Battlefront. Battlefront is coming out next week, and I'm going to try to make a Jedi Alliance clan. So if you're interested in joining our clan, stay tuned at Soapbox Mark, and I'll have more information once the game comes out.
Oh, that's really awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
I am Joseph Scrimshaw. You can find me on all the social medias as at Joseph Scrimshaw. My website is josephscrimshaw.com. I always have stuff going on, perhaps too much, perhaps I am insane.
Yes.
But tomorrow I am releasing a holiday comedy EP. It's basically some funny holiday stories with some music, some of which is written by our good friend Tony Thaxton, and that will be coming out tomorrow, and you can find out about that on my social medias or on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. So, anything else that you guys would like to share before we leave?
You got some good bass in there at the end, like .com.
Thank you.
I want Scrimshaw's voice.
I just asked if you had anything else to share so you'd compliment me.
And last minute plug, Thursday is going to be the watch along for episode 4. So make sure to we already have the event up. You can start commenting, leave it up on your window. It's going to be Thursday morning, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, tons of fun. Thank you guys so much for watching and or listening to Jedi Alliance. You can visit popcorntalknetwork.com to find a nice list of all the past episodes of Jedi Alliance in links to both YouTube and iTunes. Please also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jedi Alliance for all the us-related news. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.